the sounds of the streets in Kenya. Tear gas and riot police awaited protesters who attempted to rally in Nairobi, Kenya, in support of one politician over the incumbent, some say election-stealing, president. However, Kenya's opposition leaders called off the march because of the potential for more violence, calling for a peaceful meeting on January 8th. Now, this all follows 4 days of violence and mayhem in reaction to the re-election of President Kibaki. A false election, says his rival opposition leader, Raila Odinga. More than 300 Kenyans have been killed and 70,000 displaced. With us on the phone from Nairobi is Douglas Okwach, editor of the East African Standard. His office is overlooking the site of what would have been the march. Mr. Okwach, thank you so much for taking the time. I know it's a really, really busy day for you.
Yes.
Now, even though the march was called off, did people assemble and did they do so peacefully?
Yeah, people did assemble in two parts of Nairobi, on the southern part of Nairobi and also on the eastern part of Nairobi. Although the demonstrators were peaceful, police used force to break up the demonstrations, and at least one or two people have been shot dead.
Can you tell me a little more about the instructions the police have been given in dealing with protesters, either at this rally or in general in the past few days?
Well, in a lot of places, police have been instructed to use maximum force to break up the demonstrations. In a number of places in the country, most of those killed have been killed by police. In Kisumu, for example, the newly elected MP said he counted 64 bullet-riddled bodies. So while it is true that the communities have been fighting against each other and that they have been killing each other, to a large extent, the number of people who have been killed by police, who have used live ammunition to break up riots and to shoot people both at night and daytime.
Mr. Okwach, the Western media has reported that the violence occurring in Kenya since Sunday, they describe body counts, wire services reporting as many as 300 dead, many displaced, thousands displaced, a church set on fire, machetes in the streets. Can you tell us, is it widespread? Is it just in Nairobi, or is it concentrated in certain areas?
Well, the killings are widespread, I could say so. The killings are widespread, but concentrated mostly in Nairobi, Western Province, Nyanza Province, and Rift Valley, and some parts of coastal Kenya, which really are the strongholds of the Orange Democratic Movement, whose leader, Mr. Raila Odinga, believes he won the elections and was stolen from him unfairly.
Let me ask you to explain something to our listeners. You know, the Western reporting has talked quite a bit about the violence between the tribes. The Kikuyu, if I'm saying that right, is Kenya's largest tribe with 22% of the population. The Luo is Kenya's third largest with 13% of the population. The Kikuyu have dominated Kenya's politics. The current incumbent president is Kikuyu. Can you explain to me why this has caused resentments? Are the tribes that different in their goals?
Yeah, the resentment is basically because of the ethnic differences and the killings are mainly targeted the Kikuyu community. For a lot of Kenyans, ODM was something more of a savior, and they believe that if ODM ascended to power, then probably the level of the fighting we are seeing right now could have been dealt with. That is the reason for the skirmishes we are seeing right now.
Now, Kenya is one of the most developed countries in Africa. It's got a high tourism rate. I spent a little bit of time, I think about 3 weeks in Kenya, in Nairobi and out in, it's a beautiful cosmopolitan city in many parts. So can you explain to people what's going on under the surface for these tensions to turn so violent so quickly?
Just ask the question again. I can't hear that.
If Kenya is one of the most developed countries and Nairobi is a sophisticated city, what is going on under the surface politically for these tensions to turn so violent so quickly?
Well, I mean, that is one of the false beliefs people have been having, and that although it appears sophisticated and democratic, those ethnic tensions have always been bound to flare up at any point. And these election results have served specifically that purpose, to ignite what has always been building ethnic tensions.
Back to the original catalyst for all this trouble, the questionable election results. The United States Secretary of State has called for leaders to end violence. The UN Secretary General has reminded the leaders of Kenya of their moral responsibility. Are there any signs that there will be any outside mediation at this point?
Well, there's a lot of suspicion and mistrust between the two groups. And even as one group is pushing for mediation, the other group is basically entrenching itself in power.
Mm-hmm.
So the possibility of mediation looks very remote, considering that President Kibaki's group are basically going on with business as usual. Actually, their preparations for picking a cabinet already. Desmond Tutu was around here today, and he has just concluded talks with Raila, and who's pushing for mediation. But I don't think the other group are interested in mediation.
So what do you believe will happen next?
Well, it's likely that if none of the groups calm down and if none of the groups agree to calm down, then probably this crisis could just escalate.
Douglas Okwach is the editor of the East African Standard. Thank you for taking the time to speak with us on NPR.
Yeah, thanks. You are very welcome. Thank you very much. Bye.